ladies and gentlemen.
Columbia.
You're listening to Pacific Town Sound Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm James.
And I'm Travis.
And welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. We're back after a brief one-week hiatus, and that's because myself and our producer, Jane Fraze, we're at Skookum. So it's come and gone, and in spite of the very Vancouver weather, by Vancouver weather I mean pissing rain, it was a success, I think. Jane and I had the opportunity to check out a number of excellent BC-based bands and artists, including Little Destroyer, The Boom Booms, Andrew Phelan, Haley Blaze, and Mother Mother, just to name a few. We also had a chance to check out some big-name artists like St. Vincent, The War on Drugs, Our Lord and Savior Father John Misty, and The Killers. Just a point of order, I suppose, with this episode we're going to be doing things...
Bang the gavel.
Bang the gavel. Point of order. Your Honor... Yeah, so with this episode, we'll be doing things a little different. We're going to be bringing on our featured guests in the first hour, and then we'll be wrapping up the show with this week's Pacific Sound Profile. So our featured guest for this week is the funky, jazzy, soul, and R&B ensemble Rain City Blue, who will be heading straight from our studio at Save on Meats over to the Belmont Bar to soundcheck for the second anniversary birthday celebration for Locals Lounge. And our Pacific Sound Profile for this week is on local photographer and videographer Ronnie Mae Baker. Finally, immediately after this broadcast, we will be joined by Clay Ravens for this week's Snug Concert Series in the Persephone Snug right behind us in the same building. The show starts at 6 p.m. and seating is limited, so be sure to swing by early.
Hell of a day.
Yeah, very busy day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So what's in the news, Travis?
All right, well, on to the news. The Ands Alive Showcase, the Ands Alive Community Showcase, has announced their lineup. If you're unfamiliar with the Ands Alive Community Showcase, it's a quarterly music showcase and competition that works toward giving artists opportunities to hone their craft and to strengthen the local music community. The artists featured on the lineup are Rob Doherty, Amy Blake, Nicholas Savoy, Rocky Riobo, Pip Sargent, Glenn James, Smace, Travis James, Matt Hoyles, and Fallow State. Headlining the night will be Candace Coker, who won the previous showcase, who you will have the opportunity to hear on our program on September 30th.
Yeah,
yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, she's also going to be playing in the Snug right after, so September 30th, come on by, and then October 4th, head to the Anza.
Definitely.
It'll be good.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. All right, also in the news, Story Hive has announced the 2018 music video competition. Super cool opportunity for bands and filmmakers to work together. 40 grants of $10,000 will be awarded to artists in BC and Alberta. If you're good at math, you know that's a lot of money. Deadline to apply is October 2nd, so there's lots of time to apply, but really it's not that much, so get on it. It's definitely worth it.
So I guess, should I take the next piece of news? Cause I suppose
this one
applies.
I think maybe hits a little close to home for you, huh?
Well, not exactly. I'm fine, but where am I? Ooh. I don't know. I'll take it. Okay. So,
okay.
If you went to Skookum and you're noticing that you're covered in red bumps, there's a chance that you have measles, which is not cool. There's been a confirmed case of the measles at the Skookum Festival on Saturday. There is a complete Vancouver Coastal Health warning that you should check out online for complete details, but the basic story is that people born between 1970 and 1994 are likely to not be fully immune and might require a second dose of the MMR vaccine. Measles is not fun, especially to catch as a teenager or a young adult. It's highly contagious, so take care of yourself and make sure you get those vaccinations if you did not get your shots when you were an infant or in elementary school, high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it kind of just ends there.
Well,
and doesn't.
Yeah.
I think there was like a case in like a New West community pool
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
So it's definitely something to worry about.
There's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Get your shots.
All right.
But concerts.
Concerts. All right. Tonight, a happy second birthday to Locals Lounge. Swing by the Belmont Bar for their second anniversary showcase and enjoy music from today's future guest, Rain City Blue and Phil Bow. It's going to be phenomenal.
Indeed.
Indeed.
We are the City and the Tourist Company are playing the Vogue tonight as part of Westward Fest.
Mm-hmm. And Sam Lynch is going to be opening for Andy Schoaf, also at the Vogue, as part of Westward Fest.
Two separate
shows, one's at 6:30, one's at like 9:30.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Same venue, just different ticket.
That's weird that they wouldn't make that just a one big show, but money, I guess.
Money's important.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if you go to the first one, you can stick around.
Like sticking around for a second movie at a movie theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hiding in the back.
Yeah.
Tuesday, September 18th, Steve Badal of Wooden Horseman will be performing at Guilt & Company.
And on Thursday, September 20th, the first Let's Hear It Live event is happening at the Fox, featuring Fever Feel, Gentle Mind, and Old Soul Rebel.
Good lineup.
It is a good lineup.
Mm-hmm. You can catch Late Night Takeaway with the Happy Fits at Lanaloo's.
Freak Dream are having an album release at the Biltmore with guests Rinse Dream, Dream Bands, Wrong and Primp.
Mm-hmm. Muscle and Gall, Little Fix, and Dark Sun Prophets are at the Railway.
On Friday, September 21st, Saints of Death, Obsidian, Kozum, Holox, and Artistry are at the Rickshaw. It sounds like a metal show.
It is a metal show.
Yeah, that would make sense.
What gave it away? Saints of Death? Obsidian?
Holox, probably. Usually that sounds like a medieval word. Usually that's a giveaway.
Yeah. You can see Slevin and Harborside at the Roxy.
Youth Fountain are having a tour kickoff at the Biltmore with Hawking, Chief State, Glen Eagle, and Stasis.
Camaro 67 will be at Guilt & Co.
Valcara, Tyler, Bartfi? Sorry, Tyler. Sean Rollins and Elliot Slynn will be at the Second Floor Eatery, which is in Gastown, I want to say.
I think maybe Yale Town?
Okay,
maybe
one of the towns.
East Town,
it's somewhere in Vancouver, you'll figure
it
out.
It's on the second floor, so that limits it down to some
venues with more than one story.
Yes. Saturday, September 22nd, the Orange Kite will be playing at the Lido, along with Alex Little and the Suspicious Minds.
The Mojo Stars are playing at the Railway.
And then you can catch Lamb's Breath play the Fox alongside Cartel Madras, Magic Spells, and Death Goldbloom.
That's Tim Claridge's band.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a band.
I think he got a band back together, or he started a new band or something, but it'll be cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. It'll be nice to see him play with a full band.
Definitely.
All right. So that's the news and concerts for this week. A lot of stuff going on as usual. And our first headliner single for this episode comes from one of my favorite local punk acts, Invasives. This is the lead single and title track off of the band's latest album, which just dropped on September 7th. This is Just Another Under the Sun. And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the latest single by Invasives titled Just Another Under the Sun. Today we are joined by Rain City Blue as our featured guests. Rain City Blue is a five-piece ensemble that blends soul, R&B, funk, and jazz. Known for their high-energy performances, top-notch musicality, and professionalism, Rain City Blue are a band on the rise. Before we bring the band into the studio, we're going to play a track off the band's debut album, Stuck on Replay. This is Traveling. We're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio, and I am joined by Rain City Blue in the studio. So let's do a quick round of introductions for our listeners. What's your name, and what's your role in the band?
Hey, I'm Claire. I'm the vocalist in Rain City Blue.
I'm Sheldon. I'm the drummer.
Chantel, the bass player.
Yeah. Riley, guitar.
Hey, I'm Kalar. I may or may not play a little bit of saxophone.
Just a little bit? So, I guess another group question. How did you each get your start writing and performing music? We can have a designated spokesperson if that's easier, but...
Oh, man. I think there's a pretty mixed bag between all of us, just because we've all come together in a pretty...
Different times.
Yeah, at different times. And, like, for example, I was training to be a contemporary dancer, and so during that time, I did my own performing and writing of music, and that was maybe the last 6 or 8 years. But I know Riley and Kalar have done extensive schooling in music. Maybe they want to talk about that?
I know me personally, it was like prophesized on a stone tablet a few hundred years ago. And I'm only just trying to like live in the story that's already told, but.
Good job, man.
So is destiny rewarding or limiting?
A bit of both. Like, daunting. It's definitely a fun lifestyle, but it kind of sucks being scripted already. Like, I know when I'm going to make it and all these things.
Lesson learned, don't let Riley talk.
or let him talk.
Or you can do the whole interview, actually. It might be way better.
It'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. Pretty entertaining.
If I go a little bit more into detail, I feel like I've been writing music with my friends since I was 8 years old, like hanging out in the bathroom writing music. And then at some point I realized that was something that I really enjoyed doing.
Writing music in the bathroom?
Writing music in the bathroom. And so I exclusively only play in bathrooms from now on. And I don't know if we're going to answer any of these questions seriously.
Off to a good start.
Well, it's not inaccurate.
No, it's not. That did happen.
And what are your individual levels of music training? I imagine some of you went to school, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think me and Kalar both have done a few programs. I have a couple certificates. I did like a recording program and a classical guitar program. She's done a bachelor's in sax.
Yeah.
Sax bachelor's.
Ow. Yeah, I know Chantel and Sheldon both have some education as well.
Yep. Yeah, I went to VCC, and I've been playing since I was, 4 years old, too, so I've had different forms of education throughout the years. I went to Berkeley for a summer program when I was, 14, so
holy
that was
shit.
Pretty cool. Yeah, just by myself, flew to Boston. That was pretty... It was pretty weird as a 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was a week. It was like a week of meeting all the teachers and, taking some classes. And that was kind of cool because you got to see weird genres too, like, different Asian drummings and like all across the board. You get,
Well, it's either Berkeley or Juilliard. It seems like those are the top two
in the States. Yeah, I guess it depends
on
what genre you're into, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Classical, jazz. Or,
I always forget that the Berklee School of Music is not actually in Berklee, California.
No.
Always throws me off.
It's confusing.
Yeah. So how did Rain City Blue come together?
I kind of like telling this little love story. It's fun. So I was performing as a solo artist for a little period of time, and I needed an opener last minute. And Josie Patterson, who some people know as Cozy, who is a wonderful Vancouver musician, she had a last-minute commitment, and so she couldn't open anymore, and she reached out to Nimbus, where she was going to school, to their alumni program to see if anybody would want to fill. And, I mean, basically, it was like reaching out to Craigslist and being like, hey, here's two people that play saxophone and guitar, like, never met them before, but let's get them to play on this bill. And we decided to play a couple songs together at the end, even though we'd never played together or met, and it was just, like, magic. It felt so good. So Riley and Kalar and myself have been playing together for the last 2.5 years, and we picked up Chantel and Sheldon along the way.
Chantel knew Kaylar and Riley for a long time, so it felt like a really good fit. And Sheldon, we knew through a friend of a friend. And
I'm the random one.
No, it's so good, though, because adding you guys on, it's just like we get a new person. We're like, ah, this feels right.
Yeah, new dynamic.
Yeah, no, it really changed the dynamic in a wonderful way and changed the love story.
It's quite serendipitous.
It was.
And so, how quickly did the band come together? Because, again, you started off as a two-piece and then just kind of grew from there?
Pretty quickly. Within a few months of kind of being together, we were already doing a fair amount of gigs, and we'd already picked up, like, some wedding gigs, and we were pretty stoked about that. So it's only been about a couple of years now since the first time the three of us played together. And so, yeah, only a couple of years, really.
Did I play that wedding gig with you guys?
That was one of our first
gigs. Yeah, that was one of our first ones.
I subbed for you guys, like, 2 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just never talked after that.
For, like, yeah. 8 months.
First date was like, real weird. And then like, second
that drummer
was
Sheldon,
like,
he's no good.
For sure.
Don't call him back.
Yeah.
Kind of rare being picky about drummers.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, you know, drummers are so hard to come by, I find.
Mm-hmm. Just find one and grab them.
They do change the dynamic of a group quite drastically, though. I mean, any member does. Mm-hmm. So I think being picky about anyone who's in the group is going to change the dynamic and, like, change the relationship within the group as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of the bands and artists that have helped shape the Rain City Blues sound?
Everyone kind of has their own influences personally, too, and then they bring that to the table as well. I know personally, like, I've always been a huge Dave Matthews fan, so Carter Beaufort is my favorite drummer since I was 11 years old. And so that's... He's shaped my playing personally a lot. Same with like Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and, bands like that. So I think everyone has their own influences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you probably have your own take.
We definitely all have our own influences, but I think we kind of agree that we've got some funk influences, whether it be like, Stevie Wonder or James Brown. We like things that are a little bit heavier and include things like Rage into the sound as well, and also like a little bit of EDM, like saxophone or like horn. Yeah, do you want to
two words for you?
Moon Hooch. Yeah, Moon Hooch is great. They've informed a lot of our playing recently and writing recently.
I'm not familiar with Moon Hooch. What do they sound like?
It's a three-piece. two saxophone players and a drummer.
Who also, weirdly enough, plays saxophone. Sometimes.
But the drummer?
In Moon Hooch. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
discovered
know
that recently.
Oh, interesting.
They claim their genre on their page is caveman music or something like
what?
That.
What?
Yeah.
Cave music.
No, it's like EDM with saxophone. It's kind of how I look at it. And it's pretty cool.
You know the Matrix?
Yeah.
You know the party in Zion?
Yeah.
Imagine the music there. It's kind of like that.
That's actually, like, that's pretty... That's not bad. I like
that.
That's
pretty good.
It is cave music.
All Tempe Orlando. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I got the reference. Like, yeah. You're, like, so educated.
Oh, you just remind me of how weird The Matrix Reloaded is as a sequel.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, the first one's excellent. The sequels are just... They're something. I'm not sure if they're great necessarily, but the Wachowskis certainly didn't hold back in terms of the crazy ideas that
this
they wanted to.
This is a dangerous rabbit hole.
Oh,
I could talk about Matrix for way too long.
Is it weird to include the Matrix as a musical influence, even though it's a movie? Is that possible?
I mean, Rage are on the soundtrack.
That is true.
The
they
movie.
Are.
All
they are.
Them.
Yeah.
They're on every soundtrack.
Yeah.
Really? All of them?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
There's a Rage song in every Matrix song. Or every Matrix movie.
Makes sense. I always like the, what do you call it, that electronic song that they had during the car chase in Matrix Reloaded with the ghost guys, mm-hmm. with the dreads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Those memorable characters whose names I can't even remember. I don't even think they had a speaking line.
How long ago was this, man?
That was like 2003.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We were not two.
Probably.
Sheldon partially answered this question, but who are your favorite players for each of the instruments that you play individually? And I guess in Claire's case, like, favorite vocalists.
Okay. I definitely have a couple. Amy Winehouse is definitely a huge influence for me. Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, Etta James, Aretha Franklin. And lately, like, a newer artist that I've been influenced a lot by is Banks. She has some really incredible things going on with her vocals. Anyone?
Anyone
other
else?
People too?
Definitely Lil Wayne and Nick Jonas.
I mean, Lil Wayne is easily one of the best guitar players of our generation. Like,
yeah,
no,
he's really,
no question.
He's really changing the way people look at the instrument. So that's something to keep in mind.
Just that thumb picking technique.
Yeah,
it's really something.
The intonation, just everything about it.
Nick Jonas for obvious reasons.
No, but like actually.
Yeah, but.
No, there's a lot of players that definitely influence me. On the jazz and funky side, there's definitely players like Joe Pass and Grant Green and all those guys. Derek Trucks is sweet. John Mayer is a pretty popular player that I like. Steve Ray Vaughan, I don't know. Anybody who plays guitar probably is an influence.
Yeah.
Especially if they're famous.
That's a good way of putting it. Like, the list could go on forever.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no.
Never.
That's right.
Yeah, never learned Lil Wayne once. Never even thought about it.
For saxophone, I'd definitely... Nice shout-out to Leo P. of Too Many Zoos.
Yeah.
That guy is a monster on the saxophone and a huge influence for me.
You listen to Kamasi Washington at all?
No, actually.
Really?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You got to get on that.
Clearly, I need to rectify that.
Yeah. He's, I think he's basically just got a gigantic jazz band, and I think Thundercat's done some bass stuff for him as well. He's only released two albums, and they're each, like, I think, together, you're talking about, like, 6 hours of recorded music.
Oh, okay.
He makes his saxophone scream. It's crazy.
I'll definitely have to look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess for me, I guess it would just be Flea. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Never a bad mention.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like to call Flea the Hendrix of bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd probably appreciate that. Let's see here. So, something that I've been thinking about is that in a sense we... You could claim that we're living in almost a modern renaissance for R&B and soul, especially. What are your thoughts on the state of those genres as they are now?
They're definitely coming back.
Yeah,
in
there's
a big way.
Some artists like Leon Bridges are really bringing back like old school R&B and whatnot. You have a lot of hip-hop music that's taking R&B into new places. Like, it's definitely a genre that's pretty popular. Funk music's making it a lot of pop music nowadays, becoming the backing track to a lot of catchy songs. So
Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
I think hip hop's a good point to make with the increase in funk too, like, because I mean it primarily large, like when funk like really came to be what it was, like James Brown is a very like large black movement too, same with like jazz and hip hop, and they're all kind of like melding together now too, so they're kind of a lot of hip hop songs are like funk essentially with rap on top, you know, like Anderson .Paak too, like
oh,
stuff
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Super
mm-hmm.
funky. Mm-hmm. Super funky. So like the lines, I feel like when we're talking about genres, the lines are getting more blurred the more like the deeper we get into them. So saying that it's the renaissance of funk, I don't know, that might be a bit of a stretch, but it is like if like you can find funk in almost every genre now, which is kind of uncommon in earlier years.
Yeah, well, I'd be inclined to agree. It's not the 70s anymore where you had Funkadelic and James Brown and only a handful of artists that were just doing that designated genre or playing in that.
Yeah, now it's kind of everywhere.
Style.
I don't know. I think there's been like a huge, just in the last 100 years, a huge introduction in different genres, and people have really experimented with them to the point where I think maybe they're going back to basics a little bit. And you can either choose... I feel like you can either choose to, you know, mix even more genres together, or you can choose to simplify, because I'm not totally convinced that there are new genres that isn't just a mishmash of old ones to be discovered. But maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong.
Awesome. Well, and I would it be safe to say that Rain City Blue kind of takes a more traditional approach, considering, you know, all your instrumentation is organic?
Traditional in comparison to what?
You brought up Anderson .Paak, who uses a combination of organic instrumentation and, you know, electronic and backing tracks and stuff like that.
To that, I would want to come back to the Moonhooch reference, because I think although they're using organic instruments, they have a really cool way of introducing electronic sounds.
Emulating.
Yeah. And
I mean,
so
even Anderson .Paak, he's the drummer. So yeah. Like, his first album, is it Venice?
Venice,
his first album was a lot more electronic sounding, but still, he's the primary drummer too. Mm-hmm. So he has the main influence of the rhythm, but then on Malibu, it's a lot more organic. So I personally, as a drummer, I'm not really into the. I don't think I would adapt into like the electronic world anytime soon. I've always been very like organic sounds and acoustic drums and stuff like that. But there's no reason. I do trap beats on my hi-hats all the time, so mm-hmm. it really comes down to like the organicness is kind of the tone, generally, the way I look at it. And then the, you know, influences, even though it's electronic, you can make it sound like electronic wood with acoustic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends how what you want it to sound like, you know?
Yeah.
I guess a slightly more traditional approach, but we're always looking to push some sort of boundary or add in new elements in a way that still feels organic. So if we can add in something that sounds electronic while still using our organic instruments, then we're like completely into that.
Definitely. Everyone can hear me, right? Just want to make sure my mic's coming through. Okay, good. Trying to think of a way to transition to the song that we wanted to play. But is there any reflection of that in the demo that we are going to play, Diamonds?
What was that,
in just a sec?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We definitely, when we were kind of forming this song out, we envisioned it almost as a bit of a, like an electronic music song in our heads, like almost like a trance song or something like that. But, I think that question is actually kind of alluded to on this song.
Aha, I nailed it.
Perfect.
Yeah, definitely in the way that the saxophone becomes the chorus, it is a little more reminiscent to, the way that electronic music can be set up sometimes.
Good stuff. And without further ado, this is an exclusive sneak peek listen to a new song by Rain City Blue called Diamonds.
And I found it in the silence. I found it in the middle of the day. Watching me was watching me. Well, I found happiness. Hey.
And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was an exclusive sneak peek of a new song by Rain City Blue called Diamonds. So what was your experience like recording your debut record Stuck on Replay?
Oh.
Cool. Dramatic sigh. That sums it up.
That was a...
Yeah, fun. Definitely a learning experience. A little bit stressful.
Ambitious.
Ambitious. We planned a lot. We tried to do 12 songs and a live show and video record the whole thing. And we only had 4 days, so it was,
is a lot.
Yeah, it was way more than we should have done in hindsight, but it was definitely an awesome time, a learning experience, and a lot of fun, and we're definitely proud of the stuff we made. We just wish we had more relaxed and time making it.
For sure. that's a good, it almost sounds like you planned that out or something.
Yeah.
There is like a live clip of you guys playing one of your songs in the mm-hmm. studio. Did you record the record mostly live?
Yeah, it's almost all live off
the
floor.
Oh, wow.
Like, we didn't get very much chance to do overdubs or anything. It was a lot of, because of the video element and stuff like that, it was a lot of just making sure that we did it right the first time and doing it a few more first times, you know? And then, that was basically it. We didn't really get a lot of time to detail things as much as we maybe would have liked.
Mm-hmm. Who'd you wind up working with for that record?
A friend of mine, Furby Midgley. He's awesome. He used to work at Greenhouse and Crater Mountain. He was worked with like Lights and stuff in the past. He's awesome. He's super chill. He was really easy to work with. He honestly is a big reason we probably even finished everything, because he was so on top of everything.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Good stuff. So the band received funding from Creative BC Music, BC Music Fund. To record and release Stuck on Replay. What's some advice you'd give to a band or artist that's thinking of pursuing support through a grant?
Mm-hmm. I have lots to say on this, especially because recently I've been part of the jury process for Factor. So I've gotten to look at other people's grants recently. And really, you just want to make everything really easy and straightforward. And so if there can be less writing and you can really just kind of dial in all the facts, that is a better way to go about it. Make sure all your links are correct so that they're not going on some weird rabbit chase. And really have a clear idea in your mind of what you're setting out to do. Because if you're not clear on it, it's not going to sound clear when it comes out, and they're not going to want to fund that.
Also, apply in the first place.
Yeah, definitely apply in the first place. that's also very helpful for sure.
Common miss.
Know what you're applying for. Look into the rules. Read the rules. Read them twice over, and get people to edit your stuff as well. I'll stop after this. But if you can speak in terms of this is what we are doing, rather than this is what we wish to do, this is what we hope to do. That sounds a lot more. Concrete and fundable.
Confident,
yeah.
I've heard actionable items is really the most important thing. This is what we want to do, and here's the, where possible, kind of measurable
exactly.
outcome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Make it sound really granular and boring, but important.
Yeah.
Yeah. what can you tell us about the band's next recording project? Because we just played a demo version of Diamonds, and we have another demo coming up on the show that we're going to play.
Well, we're super excited for the next project. We booked 5 days at the warehouse to do 4 or 5 songs to make a small EP. Our ultimate goal is to do a 45 with 2 singles on it. Would be a really sick idea in our mind. But that's our next project. 4 or 5 songs in 4 or 5 days. So it's like 1 song per day instead of 4 like last time, I think. So we're pretty stoked. We're going to have a lot more time, a lot more freedom.
Mm-hmm. Are you working with Furby again?
Yeah, we're working with Furby again. We spend quite a bit of time with Furby. He's a pretty good friend of ours at this point.
I don't think he can get rid of us. he might have tried, but...
He's tried to shoo you out with a broom.
So, he likes getting paid, so I don't know if he's too much of a Furby. There you go.
Who does it?
And when are you guys set to head into the studio?
November.
Okay.
Yeah, November 9th.
So probably looking at a 2019 release?
Yeah, early 2019.
Yeah, maybe January, February-ish.
Cool. Wanted to ask you about cover songs, because you have a pair of covers on your first two releases, Cry Me a River by Julie London on your EP Tell Me, and Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics on your debut album Stuck on Replay. What's the band's general approach to cover songs? I kind of feel that there's there's an art to not only picking a song that people recognize, but also a song that works with the sound of whatever project you're working on.
Yes and no. Because I think it can also be really cool to take a song that sounds completely unlike you and change the song so that it's almost unrecognizable and becomes something different. But I definitely would say cover songs have helped us become who we are, and I would never discourage people from doing cover songs or being in a cover band, because I think you learn a lot from playing great songs to an audience and feeling and like understanding what that feels like. And you learn a lot about writing by looking at the form of the songs as well. I don't know if anyone has else.
No, that's, I mean, we started as a cover band. We've been playing covers together for a long time. Some of our favorites just seep into the recordings, and yeah, that's generally, I think, our story with it. It's just the ones that we really kind of felt were a bit our own, or that we could really put our own personal touch on.
Well, yeah, because I was just going to say the Sweet Dreams cover, it works really well, and it sounds, it's still familiar, it's still clearly a cover of that song, but it isn't like a carbon copy or anything like that. And certainly doesn't sound like Marilyn Manson's version. Do you have any plans to record a cover for your next release?
I think
maybe not for this one. We've talked potentially about doing a cover EP or album in the future, kind of playing the favorites, but definitely no plans yet, because we're pretty excited about the sound that we've crafted as an entity, and we'd love to push that forward a little bit more.
There's a sword on his face. Sorry.
I've just got all sorts of activity going on outside of the our window, including somebody shooting something for CBC, I think. Anyhow, so we got another demo that we want to play for our listeners off of Main City Blues' upcoming to-be-titled, I imagine, next EP. What can you tell us about the song Give This Up?
Yeah.
It used to be called Give This Up.
Yeah, that's true.
What was it again?
Funky Jam.
Yeah, we called it...
I think it was Funky Jam for 8 months.
For 8 months. Yes. That's a lot of Funky Jam.
What?
We were talking about more traditional funk. This is probably leaning on the more traditional side of our originals that we that we have right now, especially for the what we're planning on doing for the next EP. This one is more traditional for sure. Mostly with the bass line and like groove, like it's very groove oriented.
Yeah,
it doesn't change up quite as much as some of them. The form's a little bit more traditional too, so.
I don't know. Maybe listen and see what other people think.
Cool. Well, we'll let the song speak for itself. This is Give This Up.
I can't hide
happy to hold my back. I'm just no good at that. I give it. So quick to forgive. Well, now, yes, he was. His patience with me probably never taught me to hold back. I'm no good at hearing.
And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was another sneak peek demo track by Rain City Blue called Give This Up. Now, I wanted to ask about the little friend that we have in our studio perched on on our desk here. Your merch features a character named Chillbro McFatsits.
It's just Chillbro.
It's just Chillbro? Okay. So Captain Chillbro.
Yes.
Who is a adorable cat playing saxophone with cool glasses and a super Superman cape.
Yeah. The cape is very important.
What's his story?
Well, basically, this cat came as a joke. Riley likes to make up weird little nicknames, and we have a cat at home who's a little bit chubby, you know, really cute, really pulley little cat, and he started calling her Chillbro, and it just kind of stuck, so our little mascot is kind of based off of her, but he plays saxophone, too, and has dope sunglasses and a cape that kind of flies.
If only we could teach your cat to play saxophone.
And fly.
And fly. If you want to work on that, that would be great.
No, you ever seen that one dog video where the guy's playing, like, Iron Man or whatever, and the dog's like playing the kick drum? Like,
I saw a video where someone had taken like dog noises and turned it into like a deathcore song. It was pretty hilarious and terrible at the same time.
The unbound creativity of the internet.
Yeah, people with too much time on their hands. There's a lot of them.
Or just enough time.
Just enough time. Yeah.
Clearly, we had too much time because we made this cat.
Hey, mascots are important.
It's true.
There's something to be said about bands that have like an iconic character attached to what they're doing,
like Iron Maiden.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of. I mean, outside of metal, though, you don't encounter it nearly as much.
No, but logos are still pretty prevalent, like the characters lips or too. like the Rolling Stones lips.
Yep.
Or the Red Hot Chili Peppers have their thing, or the Gorillas and their how they're
their
all
characters.
Like,
characters.
All the characters. Yeah. Well, they even have their own like stylized logo as well.
Well, even back to like Led Zeppelin, they had logos too.
Yeah, there's and all that stuff.
Personalized logos.
Mm-hmm.
Chubby little kitty playing saxophone seems like a good addition to the roster of band mascots.
Can listeners expect an animated series at any point in the near future?
I will personally make it.
At some point
in my life.
Next week, it's all done on napkins.
Napkins?
I mean, you could honestly pitch it to Netflix and they might pick
it up.
True. They might. High budget and everything.
Stop motion.
Or just pitch it to CBC and they'll be like, oh, it's Canadian. Oh, thank God. Thank you. We need an animated show.
We needed more.
I just want Netflix to make, like, you know how they do their intro songs with all the beautiful imagery that they do for their originals? Let's just get one of those.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're like theme. Every Netflix show has like their specific like theme trailer? Song and intro kind of sequence, and it's they're usually beautiful. Shout out to Netflix for how beautiful those are. Don't skip those intros; they're wonderful.
Or also the songs in those Daredevil intros. Talk about royalties.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You land your song in a movie.
There you go.
There you go.
So Netflix. TV series, hope you're listening. Give this band a call.
Yeah, Netflix is really struggling, so we're just gonna we're really gonna help them out.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time these days.
So hard. So the band had the opportunity to take part in Canadian Music Week earlier in 2018. What was your experience like playing your first set of shows in Toronto?
Dope.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was a really good time.
Really life changing. From watching the other bands. Going to the conferences, playing music ourselves, going to different venues and kind of just seeing the culture that they have there for music. Like, every second of it was really inspiring. We had a lot to take back.
Yeah, just the band bonding time, too, was a really special part of that trip.
Lots of pool.
Did you guys drive all the way there? Or?
No, we flew.
Okay, I'd hope so.
Yeah.
We stayed a while, too. We were there for 10 days. It was a very awesome time.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of bands that we've had on the show made it there. So
yeah.
I think that is the one thing about it though, is it's really big. There's
really
a lot
big.
Of bands.
Yeah,
too many bands there.
It's mm-hmm. a lot of people to talk to, and a lot of people trying to talk to them. So
they also set it up dense. So that you can't physically do everything. The conferences start at 9 a.m. and the shows go till 4 a.m. And
brilliant.
It's just not possible to do everything. But everything that we did. Make it out too was inspiring, and the whole thing was life changing.
Yeah,
Tom I'm just Jackson, gonna keep repeating myeah. Myself. Yeah, Tom Jackson, Tom Jackson.
Yeah, shout out to Tom.
Yeah, he's struggling also, so we're gonna help him out.
Bring him on tour.
He can like bounce between us and Taylor Swift.
There you go. And kind of on that, you have a number of shows lined up for the rest of the year. What shows are you looking forward to the most?
Tonight at the Locals Lounge.
Yes,
tonight. Yep.
7 o'clock.
See you there.
let's see.
Guilt & Co.
Guilt & Co, November, is that 19th?
Yes,
Monday, November 19th. One of our favorite rooms to play in, and I personally am very excited that it's on a Monday because there's lots of people that I know that are busy on the weekends, so it's an opportunity for more people to come out to the weekday evening shows.
Also, any weekend at Breakwaters and Point Roberts.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes. Actual huge shout-out to Whitney and Point Roberts for their amazing hospitality. They are such an incredible group of people to play for, and they've helped us immensely in growing as a band.
Good stuff. And, you can have at least one or two shows planned for Breakwaters before the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a monthly stint there. He sponsors us for our U.S. visas.
Nice.
Very helpful.
That is extremely helpful because those are
helpful.
They're not cheap, but they're necessary because you don't want to not have it and then have border guards throw you out on your butt.
And the Hard Rock.
Yeah, Hard Rock. We're at the casino in Coquitlam. That's fun.
Cool. Are there any local bands or artists that you'd recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Laverne.
If you haven't had Sleepy Gonzalez on here, they are wonderful. We love playing with them. I think you did have Chase the Bear, and they're friends of ours. We love playing with them as well.
We have Sleepy coming on the show next week.
Yeah, oh, wow. They're friggin' great. So good. Yeah. They've got a really special dynamic going on as well.
Laverne, for sure.
Laverne and Mudfunk and Old Soul Rebel.
Had Old Soul on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. We're getting there. So I think we're quickly running out of time, but how can listeners check out your music and keep up to date with everything Rain City Blue is up to?
You can follow us on Bands in Town for all of our shows, and just Rain City Blue on any of the social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we've got YouTube. You can email us
www.rainc
OwnCityBlueMusic.com.
Oh, my personal number. Oh.
No, do not get your personal number out.
7-7-8-6-6-6-9-69.
How'd you know, man?
we definitely try to be active on there so you guys know what's happening, but if you follow us on Bands in Town, then you'll always get information on the shows coming up.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much. A lot of fun.
Yes. So we mentioned this on the show before, but Rain City Blue play the Locals Lounge second anniversary show tonight at Belmont Bar, and we're going to leave you with one more song by the band. This is Lay My Head.
It's a slow day. I'ma lay my head down. I'ma lay my head to sleep. It's boxing down. It's too thin to you. But this one in my way can make me feel so sick. I'ma lay my head by.
We're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Rain City Blue with Lay My Head. Before we get into our Pacific Sound profile, we've got another headliner track for you, which is by a band I've been meaning to see live for a while now. Surprisingly not playing a show this week, even though they seem to be playing shows all the time. Palm Haze are a musical duo that put out a very underrated debut EP last year and are back with a thrilling new single, complete with their unique mix of alternative rock, shoegaze, and trip-hop. This is Drop In. Back, you're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was the latest single by Palm Haze called Drop In. So immediately after this broadcast, you can join the Pacific Sound Radio team at the Persephone Snug for the latest edition of the Snug Concert Series, where we're hosting folk rockers Clay Ravens, who are sound checking during our episode. And right after our showcase at the Snug is the Locals Lounge second anniversary show, headlined by this episode featured guest, Rain City Blue, starting at 7. So if you really want to run around Vancouver, a lot of things you can go. Just keep going. And next week, our broadcast on September 23rd will be a special double feature, including Ponytails and Sleepy Gonzalez. Be sure to join us after the broadcast to see Sleepy Gonzalez play the Snug Concert Series. And where am I? And finally, thank you for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson
and Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced. Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jane Fraze. Travis, how can people keep tabs on what we're doing?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram, also at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter, at Pacific S Radio, YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, as well as our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. As always, we are live on the air every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on Save On Radio. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.